Hope you guys had a good week. I hope you're excited to be here this morning. I hope that you had a chance last week to connect with Jesus and have an opportunity to connect with somebody with Jesus. We finished our series with connection, and my challenge last week is to be the representation of Jesus to somebody that God has put on your heart and your mind that you've been praying about. And the goal last week is like to call them up and to invite them to lunch, dinner, to have a moment that wasn't just a moment of friendship, was a moment of you reflecting Jesus in their life. I really hope that you had that. That's my prayer, and I hope to hear stories. I hope someday you come, hey, I want to share how God used me. I want the church to know that the prayers that we had during this time has changed a life because of what God has done through me, that I was able to reflect Jesus. And I took that moment and I prayed and I was concerned and then God used me. That's our prayer as a church. That's my hope as a church, is that when we walk out here, we have a mission that we are called to be the reflection of Jesus. And that we don't just play this game of Sundays, that Monday through Saturday, there's a calling on our life, right? And that we should be consistently thinking about and viewing people through His eyes, through Christ, knowing how to connect with Him, right? And we live in a world that's a lost world. Am I right? All right, you're found. Now you have the keys to what it looks to be found, and you've got a call on your life. It's not just me that stands up here. It's not just our worship team that stands up here. It's not our board that just has a call on their life. You have a call on your life. If you read Scripture, you have a call on your life. And we're going to kind of talk about that. We're going to talk about grow and what it looks like to grow spiritually. Our mission as a church is to connect, grow, serve, and we're in our grow series. And I want to be honest, this is something that we are going to revisit every summer. Because the reality is this, great businesses understand if they have a mission and vision, they have to retouch that mission and vision on a regular basis. So they understand why they're here, why they're moving forward, and that they have a tool to go out and go, this is what I stand up for. This is why I work. This is why I do this. And as a church, it's the same thing. We have to understand why we come to this Sunday morning service to worship God, why we leave as a church and we go, hey, I'm part of Springfield First Church of Nazarene. This is what we stand for. We want to see people connect to Jesus. We want to grow people in a deeper relationship with Jesus, and we want to serve God. That's who we are. In all things that we plan and strategize, this is what we symbolize. This is our mission and vision. And so when we plan out events, when we have small groups, when we have rooted groups, when we have fun times, it is with the purpose of connecting people to Christ, growing people to Christ, right? And so this is why we're going to revisit it. This is, in all things, we as a board have decided this is who we are, right? I want us to know that we can look to connect, grow, serve as the symbol of us knowing who Jesus is in our life, and because we are allowing Him to grow deeper in us, and that we go out and serve Him in others the way He's called us to serve, right? So we're focused on grow, all right? And when I was thinking about grow, you know, I have been a father for almost 17 years. They're still my kids. They still call me dad, so I'll take that title very seriously. And I have thought about the process of being a parent in a different way, probably as a youth pastor way. I look at them, and I love them unconditionally most of the time. All right? There are moments that I have to depend more on God than less, right? And there's moments like this week that they were amazing. You don't know, they were gone all week to camp. They didn't get in trouble once. Well, they did kind of get in trouble because Michelle went into the rooms and cleaned it. Yeah, that was fun, right? So now, you know, in that process of being a parent, I think about growing, right? I look at my son right now like this, right? And I don't like it. I'll be honest. It's not fun. And like he came home today or Friday and yesterday, he's like, all right, let's mess with dad. And he just laid on me. And it was like one of those ones, not like to be like, oh, dad, I love you. It was like, I'm bigger than you. I'm going to lay on you. Right? I look back at being a parent now, and I was like, I shouldn't have fed him. Shouldn't have fed him. If I could go back, change some things, keep him small. Right? We kind of think about that as a parent. Like, there's these moments I go, and I look at picture, and like, oh, can I have that kid again? Can I have that moment where he's small and he's doing one of these and he wants to be up in my arms? Like, those are moments that I'm not going to have again, but I will always cherish, right? Now, think about this in terms with God and us, and I think about being a parent, and I think, what if I never taught my kids how to eat for themselves? Now, this sounds ridiculous, right? It sounds outlandish, but every time we had to go out to eat, what if I just had to force feed them? And how odd, like, if my son was sitting at the dinner table and people are like, do you see this? Does his arms not work? Right? And he's going, yeah, they work. You know, but I'm sitting there going, okay, here's your next bite. Right? It'd be weird, wouldn't it? Like, I'd get a lot of stares. Right? But I think within, like, some of us as parents are like, oh, yeah, I want to keep him that way. I think spiritually we do this. Spiritually, we are fine being force-fed because it's comfortable. Because it's all we really know, right? I want you to know really quick, I don't want any of you to be based upon your spiritual growth on me. I don't want any of you to base your relationship with God on me. I am human. There's been enough pastors in this world that have failed, publicly, privately. And we live in a world that too much emphasis upon my spiritual walk influences whether or not you walk with God or not. The reality is this. I am human. I have my faults. My wife lets me know. All right? I have my faults. And if you lived with me day in, day out, you would see those faults even more. But my hope is that you see God through my faults. I hope that you see this grace and mercy that works through me. I might say something, and I have to come back and go, hey, listen, I shouldn't have said that. There's been moments I've taught things, I'm like, you know what, I need to revisit that because it didn't get explained well. I'm human. I'm bound to my humanness of error. But if I was satisfied with where I'm at, then that's a problem. If I've grown to a point where I'm going, okay, I cannot grow anymore spiritually, I'm just going to sit here, that's a problem. And I've started to look at church's spiritual development process. And one of the words that we've really missed out on, and if we ask people what it means to disciple, and I've focused on it, and I'll continue to focus on this word, disciple, it's a scary thing that we don't quite understand, right? We have a tendency to think it's all about accountability. We have this thing that we have to confront sin, which is, yes, it is a part of it. But discipleship is so much more, right? It is almost like a father-son, parent-kid relationship, right? Not every interaction that I have with my kids is one where I'm telling him, you're doing this wrong. Do it right. Please. Right? I'm just looking at one. Right? It's not all like that, whether they think that or not. And that's not what we're necessarily called to be, the ones that are the truth tellers of wrong and right in what people's actions are. You know what we are guides for? A relationship with God. And whether you have one or not, And what does it take to have a relationship with somebody? Did I hear somebody say something? What, effort? Absolutely. One of the first things that you learn in premarital counseling is communication. Right? If you don't have communication, do you have a relationship? If you're not talking, if you're not aware of the other person, do you have a relationship? You have a neighbor. You have a body next to you, right? But communication, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, is essential when it comes to relationships. Do you know that? Do you know that, and like most men, we're not great at it, right? I've seen somebody post about, you know, I want you to know how much I love you, that I chose you, that I'm willing to listen to your stories when you come home. And you'll introduce new characters to my life, and it'll never have a point, and you don't want me to fix it. That's how much I love you. As simplistic as that sounds, but the reality is this: communication is key when it comes to growth of relationships. We're going to read out of 2 Peter this morning, but I'm going to read, it's 5 through 8 is where our focus, but I want to read the part before it. So bear with me. I'm going to read 3 through 10. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in your divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. All right. One of the words right there that I love that he says there is that you get to participate in your relationship, in your development, that you are not called just to sit idly by and hope God moves you and changes you, right? That you have to participate in it. 5 says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. I love this. Add to your faith. So when we gain faith, when we say yes to God, what I read in that very first part of 5 is this, that we can add to it, that it's not done, it's not finished, that it requires some work, it requires some substance, it requires life to be filled, that faith doesn't sit idly by. In fact, I believe when faith just sits idly, it starts to die. Faith is one of those words, it's not a noun, it's an action, it's a verb. It's lived out, and it cannot sit idly by, right? And then he brings in what you fill up with, goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mature affection. And to mature affection, to love. For if you possess these qualities in increased measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Two words there that stand out. Ineffective and unproductive. Those are two very negative sounding words, but what they're saying is if you don't have these that are filling up your faith, you will not grow. You will not produce. So we're going to talk about those things real quick, but there I want to continue on. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind and forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. I know a lot of people, and I am one of them, it is easy to fall into the trap of repeating sin. It is easy to fall back into a life where what was comfortable and easy and just continue to do it. But with God, it is not easy. It is where it's outside of myself going, okay, you need to cleanse me, right? And you have forgiven me. Has anybody, I don't want by a show of hands, but I don't think I'm in the same, I don't think I'm in this boat by myself. that have lived a life that go, God can't forgive me, or he can, but I continue to do it, and I'm just bound by this sin. So why do I even try? I think that we struggle with this. And we live with this excuse going, okay, I will just, you know, I'm never going to be what God really wants me to be. And I want you to know that's a lie. And that's not the message that God is communicating to you. The reality is this, that God is far more sufficient than the sin that you cause. And what it means to be redeemed, is a new life. And redemption is something that it continues to happen every moment you take a breath. It's not just one moment. Like, I can look back at the moment in my life that I first understood redemption, which is Jesus coming in my life and going, yes, I accept you, Jesus. Yes, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Yes, I want to live a life for you. That same fervor that I had in that moment has waned sometimes. Does that make me a horrible person? No, God still loves me and still continued to grow with me, still continued to move in me, and I had to continue to go, please redeem this moment. Please redeem me. And he goes, absolutely, you've already been redeemed. Move forward. I would say there was a summer in my life that I got caught up in sin, and I it was the guilt of that sin that I could not be released from. And the devastation of that sin in my mind, in my heart, in my spiritual development became the trip up of allowing God to truly forgive me. And reality is, he already forgave me. It was him saying, let it go. Know that my strength and my power and my ability to forgive you is far more significant than anything that you hold on to. It took a whole summer. It was the summer right before I went off to college. I thought I had a call in my life, and I thought I did something in my life that I thought, oh, I just ruined that. And all of college was this nonstop up and down whether or not God could really use me. I want you to know I am nothing special in comparison to you. God looks at me and loves me right where I'm at, and he loves you right where you're at. I don't have anything that you don't have when it comes to God's eyes. We're all in the same boat of being special. And what that looks like is that he sent his son. Please be mindful of this. He sent his son for you personally. And I say this with all significance to understand what the value of that means when it comes to sin in my life. That when I truly believe that, then I get to move forward from what sin bound me through. Right? And I know through Jesus, I'm not bound by that anymore. That guilt's gone, that shame is gone, and that life that I have now with him is free. And I cannot just reside in that I must move forward in that, right? And so this is what we want to focus on really quick. These five things: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love, right? What is goodness? I started thinking about goodness, and what this is meaning in this moment is excellence and virtue. And I kind of take it from this moment. Can you live out goodness in the moments that it's hard to be good? I'll be honest, I was tired yesterday. I went to the store yesterday, which is a big trip up for me. Like, going to the store, I've talked about it before, like, oh Lord, there's people here. And these are the people I don't know, right? Now, I'm getting in the car, I have my daughter with me. I was joking with my daughter. I went to go pull backwards before I looked, and I stopped. I pulled back like 1 foot. I was going probably less than a mile per hour, all right? And I had a guy that was like 100 feet from driving by me, And he did one of these, like, whoa! Right? Braked. And I was like, I stopped. I'm good. And he had his hands up for what felt like 5 hours, but was like probably 10 seconds. And he was like, are you gonna stop? And then drove by and was like, I did one of these things. I didn't, what? Right? I instantly, like, I made jokes and I decided, okay, this is where God needs to work on me. And this is why I say, don't look at me for your spiritual development, right? Now, I want to help you with your road, but in this moment, God wasn't around in the passenger seat. I didn't say anything negative, but I made sure I followed him to the stop sign and said, you all right? And he just zoomed away. All right? And my daughter laughed. I made up stories about what he was probably thinking. Like, anyway, I just had a good experience of it. But the reality is this. Maybe in this moment it could have been a life lesson that I could have had with my daughter. Of not allowing my heart to rule me in a way that was not goodness. People overreact. Do they not in your life? Right? We have people that overreact. And it's easy to go, you're overreacting. It's harder to be good and kind and virtuous and excellent in that moment besides what they are thinking. You work with people that you know that it's hard to probably be good around. Right? I will be honest. One of the things that pastors have a hard time with is we like to gossip with other pastors. We just do. So if a church is doing great, they'll probably gossip and be like, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. He's just getting all those people because he's doing this and he's doing that, right? Right? Or if they don't show up to an event, blah, 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 he's never a part of this. He just cares about his own. Like, it just happens, right? We're just, pastors are also human. I just said it, right? It's easy to get caught up in that. Where's the goodness? You are reflecting excellence and virtue. Shows what? Spiritual growth between you and God. Right? This morning, I don't think I really explained it. Connect was this moment of learning how to connect with each other, connect with God, and connect with out there. This morning, this is you and God that I want you to focus on. Between you and God, not anybody else, because the reality is this. It's going to reflect on people that you interact with, but the reality is this. It's the longer that you're with this, it will help this. The more that you're willing to grow with this will teach you how to be patient, kind, gentle, and merciful with this. Right? Another one, self-control. The ability to control one's emotions, behavior, especially in difficult situations, which is kind of like goodness, right? Self-control. Anybody have a lack of it? Right? That, and you know what the sign of self-control, lack of self-control is? Those moments that you're with people and you just say, oh, I opened my mouth. Oh, no. And like later on, you're like, what did I just say? 5 hours ago. Oh no. Right? Guess what it takes to be able to control that? Practice. Self-control takes practice. And understanding why you're practicing. It's not just to be a good person. It's not just to be people that want to be around you. Right? Being a youth pastor for 20 years, part of my spiritual gift was lack of self-control, being with teens and just going, hey, I got to be ready to be firing back, because teens will say things like, you're old and gray and ugly. And I'm like, okay, God, give me the gift to rebuttal, right? Because part of that, being a youth pastor, if you don't rebuttal, you're like, okay, he's lame, I can't talk to him. If you have a quick response, and sometimes I will say, some of that quick response hurt them. And again, the lack of self-control, it felt good. But, when you practice it and understand the relationship that you have with the person's not based on you and your desires, when they say something that you know that hurts, but you are growing with God, you know God's bigger than that hurt, and that your response is not going to be out of retaliation, but one out of love. Jesus even said, if you love people that are your enemies, it'll be like hot coals on their head. People that hate you, if your response is out of grace, mercy, and love, which comes out of self-control, you are a reflection of Jesus in that moment. But it takes growth. It takes growth. Let me go to the next thing. I skipped one, I think. Knowledge. Understanding and familiar. Knowledge is something that we cherish in today's culture, but I want you to understand this is a different kind of knowledge. It's not just knowledge of book, which I desire for us to be in God's Word. If we want to really grow, we need to be in God's Word daily. I'll just say it. It's substantial. But also, with this knowledge, it's not just God's Word that He desires. This is also the knowledge of communication with Him, prayer. I talked about communication earlier. If you don't communicate with the person that you love, that you call your spouse or you call a friend or you call any of that kind of stuff, right? Do you really reflect love if you don't communicate? Verbal, nonverbal. Because you won't know what they're going through. You won't know them the way that it is essential to know them. And communication is not just you talking, it's you listening. You absorbing. You taking time to know their heart. Now, imagine us doing this with God. Taking a moment to really know who God is. I want that to absorb there. Like, we spend all our time really easily like, God, this is who I am. Please take it. Know everything. My wants and desires, please give it. Lord, please sustain it. Right? Imagine a relationship with somebody that it was all about them all the time. Now, this is what God is good enough and big enough that He can sustain that. And the reality is it won't grow much if it's centered around you. What if we transform our relationship with God to be centered around God? And our first question for God is, God, what do you want? God, how can I be used by you? God, how can you move in me? Like, God, I want you to be the center of my life. What will it take? God, what do you care about today? Imagine if we transform our relationship with God when it comes to knowing Him, to really knowing Him. Anybody have a relationship that you can complete the sentence of the other person? Anybody? Not, yeah, sort of. Or you, all right, there we go. Anybody have a relationship that you already know what they're probably doing when they get home? Right? Like, I'm going to be on the couch asleep. Michelle's going to go. She'll probably clean up a little because we have company coming, but then she'll go take a nap. Right? We got our Nazarene nap. I know my wife loves pickleball. And that in that, she's already formulated a relationship with people, and she has a desire to be better at pickleball. Like, I know these things, right? I know my wife, her desires, I know, because we communicate, because I know, and there's moments in my life, I'll say it, moments in my life that I really want her to have what she wants. I said moments because I'm selfish, and God is still working with me. I have my wife in front of me. We have constant conversations. Sometimes it's a lot harder to have this with God, where we have a constant conversation and knowing what God wants from me, what God needs from me, how God wants to use me. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is waiting for that conversation with you, that you know his heart for you, that you know the love that he has for you, that you know him personally, right? Godliness is dependence, submission, gratitude, and obedience. In all these areas of learning how to grow, this is substantially one of the hardest because we are called to be obedient. We are called to be submissive. Is it easy to be submissive today? Is it easy to be obedient? Those two things just go, they marry together. I look at my kids, and again, teenagers, it's just easier to reflect upon them, and one of the things that's hard for them is to be told something and then do it right now. I will tell you, I have some of the most obedient kids, especially when I say it. There's a difference when their mom says it, right? Right? And then I have to come in and be like, all right, mom said this. That means when mom says this, I say this, right? That's one of those parent things, blah, 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 right? I want you to understand within the, what if God is communicating and you do have, now it comes to you going, yes or no. You have a choice to be what God has designed you for or not. We can do the listening. We can be active in this. But what if God tells you, okay, it's time to go and share your message with somebody that you work with, and it's going to cost you? Maybe it's going to cost you a job. Are you willing to do that for God? You see, this is not an easy place to be because it puts you out of the norm of what the society says, okay, just do your job, move on, and God has other plans for you, and he wants you to be used by him. He wants to be, because that's going to fulfill your call. That's going to fulfill your mission in your life, but it means you have to be obedient, which is what it looks like to be godly. Mutual affection. I'm going to put mutual affection and love together here, all right? I want you to understand some things here. Mutual affection is this. We look in this area right here, and we find love and brotherly love, sisterly love, that we lift each other up, that we look at you and go, okay, I know there we have our faults, but I don't look at you for your fault. I look at you for what God has done in your life, and I lift you up for that. I want you to know there was, when my mom was part of a church, and she's still part of the church. I'm sorry, Mom, I'm throwing you under the bus here. She's watching. She watches every Sunday. I'm her son. Right. At that time, my mom was, when I was 9 years old, my mom got a divorce and moved up here to Champaign area. And I will tell you, the church didn't know what to do with my mom. She's a divorced woman. She's still kind of, she's in her 30s. Most of the women were like, she's divorced. Stay away from my husband. And most of the men are like, I don't know how to talk to her. If I talk to her, then my wife's going to be mad. Right? And yeah, my mom, like, it was a broken situation. It's not something that she wanted in her life. It wasn't something that she got into marriage. She's like, hey, I'm going to, like, in 9 years, I'm definitely going to get a divorce. Yay. It's not something that we cherish. And it's a sin that we look at, and we don't know how to really address it as a church. And I want to start with the idea of just being mutually loving, embracing, caring, which is the direct opposite of judging. Right? That we lift each other up in these moments. That we make the initial interaction and go, hey, welcome. We are glad you are here. Let's go have lunch. Let's go have a moment that we can grow together. Right? mutual affection also is this, that I look at you and then I don't just see a moment of, okay, we just had a moment, great, and now I'm good, you can go away. It is actually this moment of going, hey, let's draw in. How can I be praying for you? I wonder how active in church we have each other praying for each other that we know that we're praying for them. And that it's not just the prayer team. That it's not just the prayer list. Oh, they got put on a list. I know somebody's praying for me. I know pastor's probably praying for me. I know Mary's probably praying for me. I know that Jeff is probably praying for me. Like they have those moments. I know we have prayer teams, but the reality is this. What if somebody personally came up to you and said, hey, Tim, I'm praying for you this week. I know you're struggling at work. I know things are not the greatest. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. And if you need a moment, let me know. That we are real with each other. And what comes with that? Like, it's not a natural thing for us to do. Because it's uncomfortable. Because guess what, then? That other person at that moment to share. They have this. I want you to know the most impactful moment of my spiritual walk was that summer of sin that I thought I lived in. And I shared, I confessed everything to a guy that most of you know, Victor Holstein. I'm showing you that, but that moment was the most cherished moment of my life when it came to my spiritual development. That I shared everything with him in that moment that I was carrying. And the best thing he did in that moment is he was quiet. And he embraced me. And I knew I wasn't in this alone. And all of a sudden, the amount of pain and agony that I had been carrying for a while with myself, for my decisions that I made, that caused a void between me and God, all of a sudden I saw a bridge that I could carry that I wasn't alone to. That I had a friend in Christ that was going, here, let me help you. Let me help carry you past this moment. Years down the road, we had a conversation about that moment, and I praised God that he was quiet because in his heart, he was going, I want to judge you for everything that you said. I want to condemn you, Ben, for what you were saying. And I praised God that he kept his mouth quiet because in that moment, what I needed was God's grace and mercy and love and brother, that mutual affection. So whatever was going on internally, he knew he was close enough to God to go, hey, I got to keep my mouth shut and just pray for this brother. That's what we're called to do when we grow spiritually. You see, all these things when we grow spiritually is not of us, it is of God. And when we draw closer to God, we show these attributes more and more. Goodness will ooze out of you. Love will ooze out of you. Even obedience will ooze out of you because you will want what God has for you. Right? This morning I want to share with you some ways. Some ways I don't see them in here. Logan's out there doing security, I think, this morning. He's got a new Sunday school. Can we turn on the red? Wednesday night. It's a way to grow, right? And he wants to invite you to be a part of it. He's going to explain it really quick.
Good morning, guys. I'm Logan Carmen, and my buddy and I have sold, and we decided that we really enjoy Wednesday nights. We think they're very important. And so we're going to continue on starting from Kathy's been teaching a Wednesday night class. Fall. So Adam and I are going to continue to teach a Wednesday night class on the parables of Jesus starting Wednesday the 13th, getting us all the way to September to our fall starts.
We all invite you guys. It's for beginners, seasoned veterans in the Christian faith, and we'd love to have you. I think it'd be a great class.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there's a way to grow, all right? So Wednesday night, starting, did you say the 13th?
13th.
I was listening. All right. The 13th is an option for you to come, and they're just going to talk about the parables. And I guarantee it's going to be one of those moments where you can kind of open and have questions, right? And parables are just Jesus telling a story from our perspective of being able to understand the heaven.
You guys couldn't hear me? Sweet. We got to repeat the whole sermon. All right.
Hello. Happy good morning. My name is Sierra Thompson, as those who don't know me. I wanted to come up here and talk about something that I'm pretty, passionate about, and also I want to give you some facts. Did you know every year 2.5 million children experience homelessness? And did you know that it can be anyone? No one is safe from being homeless at any point in time, because in life, people go through things that are serious and can be life-altering, things that are unexpected, that can either prevent poverty or can become poverty or homelessness. That is why I want to help with the help from you. As some of you may know, last year, we raised almost $300 to the church, and then also plenty of food to give care packages to the homeless. Around Christmas, me, Lucy, and Clara went out and passed these out and got to meet some really cool friends out there. This summer, I'm inviting everyone to come do it again. Clara and I have created a poster that is out in the lobby. It's kind of on a easel. There's things on there that you can grab with things that we do need. It has a price and a location. Feel free to not listen to that. I just did some research and tried to find the cheapest options for you guys. We are also accepting donations of food, money, and we definitely need plenty of tote bags to put the stuff in. Even if you are unable to help with physical donations, I would love for you to volunteer your time. We are planning to pass out stuff on Saturday, July 23rd from 6 to 8. Thank you.
So this gives us the chance to grow from our own abilities of just sitting at home, but be the hands and feet of Christ, right? And one of those things that we have been charged to is to take care of the homeless, to take care of the less unfortunate, right? And this is going to provide us an opportunity to do that. So we have a chance for you to learn God's word coming the 13th, right? We have small groups that we've kind of talked about that in the next couple of weeks you'll hear more about. That will start up in the fall, right? And in all these things that we're doing, I want you to understand it is for us to grow closer to God, to have a deeper relationship with God. That's what it's about. It is not, I said this, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I would love to see every seat filled up, right? But that's not what we're about. You know what we're about? We're about God moving in our hearts and growing deeper in a relationship with him and worshiping him and moving forward and allowing him to use us, right? And then in that, when we grow deeper, we can't help but connect with people. We can't help but serve him, right? We put grow in the middle for a reason. Because without it, it's the heartbeat that sinks out of connect and out of serve. You can go serve. You can go and connect with people. You can be great with people. There's extroverts that are amazing. There's people that care about people that are amazing. But when it's God-centered, it's life-altering. It has to deal with eternity, right? So it is the heartbeat. When you don't have this, when it's not you and God at the central focus of everything, everything else is out of whack. It may be done good, but it ain't done right with a heart that's centered with God. All right? Stand with me. And this is your challenge this week. Take some moments of praying with God, connecting with God, reading his word, developing a relationship with God. Don't be force-fed. Don't depend on this moment on Sunday to be the only moment that you have with God this week. Right? Develop a pattern of relationship that is sustainable with God. All right? Church, go knowing that you are loved, by God. Oh, we haven't. Yes. And one of the other things in which, I'm sorry, that we're going to do too is our ushers will have plates, I believe. Can you go get plates really quick? And what we're going to do is this. The camps, if you would like to give to the camps for the funeral, they could use your help, all right? And it will go towards that, all right? Just give it to the ushers as you leave, and whatever is given at this moment will be donated to that family. They could use all the help they can be received, okay? We love them, and you'll hear more of when the funeral is for them this week. It is Saturday, and it's down at Belleville First Church of the Nazarene. I just don't have a time yet. So once we have the time, I'll let you know. But I will tell you, they need your prayer. They need your mutual affection. They need to be lifted up right now. All right? So maybe reach out to them.